The Human Rights Campaign unveiled its rating index for how cities are doing on their LGBTQ inclusive policies. We get takeaways on how Wisconsin communities are measuring up here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, it's our year-end member drive at WPR. I'm with Dean Kinetter, and we're here to say your gift now will ensure the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2022. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's an exciting time to give because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. It is a great time to donate because current members, including a member in New London, will double every dollar you give.
Nice.
It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
We just heard directly from the assembly lawmaker who is Waukesha District is grieving, is coming to terms with the parade tragedy. We are here on The Morning Show talking together, hearing from you, voices all over Wisconsin on what are next steps. And these are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
Kate and the team on The Morning Show do such a great job of booking and producing amazing conversations about issues that are really front of mind for Wisconsinites. I bet that's something that you've connected with, something that you value. Well, you make it happen. Your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes those many topics you tune in for possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give. You're in the driver's seat, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example. Things that you enjoy and make life a little better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you get to decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Joy.
I'm Scott.
And we're from Madison.
We became sustaining members because we do listen to it every day. We really appreciate it. We thought this is something we want to make sure continues. We are now fixed incomers, but we enjoy this station. It's one of the highlights. I couldn't imagine living anywhere without a public radio station.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
I love, think about the highlights. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Dean Kinetter. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this year-end member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, get it matched, and whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
If you've already renewed or make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. Those listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given yet, join the thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As you mentioned, Kate, that dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. It's happening right now. We've got about $1,800 left to raise. That is money on the table. Let's not leave it there. Get your gift doubled when you give this hour. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and that support will go twice as far.
And if you're a sustaining member making those ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Maria in Maguanago, who said, Kate is an amazing interviewer and host. We love her spirit and the way she brings out the best in others. She inspires and opens our day to a wealth of knowledge and experience.
Maria, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org. And thanks. Now, the Human Rights Campaign is out with its annual benchmark for how cities and towns nationwide are measuring up on dozens of criteria for LGBTQ plus rights. We're looking at Wisconsin takeaways with your experiences. How do you feel your community is doing on inclusion? What can you point to? Is it progress? Is there a setback in your view? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Barb Farrar is executive director of the Racine-based LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin. Barb, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, good morning. Looking at these numbers for Wisconsin cities, being assessed averaged 83 out of 100 points, the national average being 67 points. How well do the numbers on a page match up to quality of life in our communities and what inclusivity really feels like and looks like?
Yeah, that is a really good question. The Human Rights Campaign is, to my knowledge, the only document that kind of allows a city to self-assess and measure some of the core ordinances and laws that they have in place that would then prevent discrimination, include people in decision making, and so forth. And so it's not a measurement of how everyone's doing. What it measures is how a city creates an infrastructure that allows inclusion, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. How much weight and credence, if you will, do you give to the scorecard, and what criteria is really pivotal here? What moves these numbers forward? What moves these numbers up?
For myself, an LGBTQ center executive director, these numbers are really important because what they do measure is a municipality, a city's prioritization of human rights for the LGBTQ community. So we're talking about things like non-discrimination laws, how do employers, the city employers, treat their LGBTQ workforce, law enforcement, leadership and equality. These kind of tools, I think, are really important. And to kind of step back a minute, if I were looking for jobs in the state of Wisconsin, I would definitely look at a city's municipality rating to see if it's an inclusion, if the city is inclusive, and if it's a priority of the city to increase these numbers.
The Human Rights Campaign pointed out, it said, look, many cities want and intend to do well by their LGBTQ plus employees, their elected officials, their community members, but they don't necessarily know where to start, where to begin. What advice can you give there? Where does a community start this work and who leads it? Who heads it up?
Yeah, great question. So just a little history. Mayor Corey Mason, who's the mayor of the city of Racine, in his second day of office, saw that the city of Racine was at a 36, and then I think it bumped to 41, and called in members of the LGBTQ community like myself and sat down and said, how can we make this better? And so it was really that first day one-on-one conversation, looking at the criteria and then creating a game plan to, over the course of a year or two, implement these protections for the community. So it was both, I think it was a partnership of LGBT leaders and the city.
What are the biggest issues that communities face today in becoming more inclusive? What is topping the list, if you will?
I think that for me, it is the it's the fact that we still don't have protections based on gender identity and gender expression. As a state, that's not a covered law. There was an ordinance by Governor Evers this summer that allowed protections based on gender identity and gender expression, but as a state, we don't have that. I think a lot of cities have kind of doubled down on a ban on conversion therapy for minors, including Kenosha and Racine. I think there's now 12 or 13 cities that have, independent of the state, gone ahead and passed that legislation. But I think some of the bigger issues dealing with the state are actually outside of the state, and some of those bigger battles are happening in the school districts and places like that.
I wonder, as you mentioned, Governor Evers and the legislature, how much of this is politics, Barb? How much of this is advocacy at the state capitol about educating? What needs to be done legislatively to advance rights across Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, because we all know that Wisconsin is a battleground. We all know that that issues can be politicized for gain on either side. And so I think that Governor Evers has, by making these executive orders this summer, put his foot down and said, I support the LGBT community, and these are some things I'm going to do about it. Whereas some other issues have come up through the state or the state assembly that I think are more divisive. So I would love to see people put politics aside and really fight for the human rights and dignity of our LGBTQ community.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Barb Farrar, who leads the LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin, that's based in Racine, as we discuss the Human Rights Campaign annual benchmark that is out now for how communities across the country are working toward LGBTQ plus equality and what is holding them back. You can join in on how your community is doing at 800-642-1234. Barb, you've lived in San Francisco, which has such a deep and enduring history in this work for equality. And I think about the Harvey Milk Foundation and that history legacy. Do you look to other cities for guidance and support in this work?
You know, I moved to San Francisco when I was 23. I'm 55 now. Mm. And it was a very different time then. I lived there for 20 years. And, you know, the idea of equality was just ingrained in the streets, ingrained in your culture, your neighbors. It was just such a beautiful place to live coming out. And then moving back to Wisconsin in 2008, realizing that there's a lot of advancements that need to happen. So I am very proud of other centers within Wisconsin. There's centers in Milwaukee and Madison and Appleton and up in La Crosse and a few others. And I'm also very proud of an organization called CenterLink, which is a national organization that brings LGBTQ centers together and kind of shares ideas on how to work together. So I feel fully supported. There's also some individual leaders, Brian Jay out of Madison, and Diverse and Resilient is just an amazing organization as well.
I do want to leave some space for the trans community here. Your Safe Zone coordinator, who was a vibrant voice for the trans community, Ray Anzac, who passed away about a year ago. Can you tell us about Ray's work and the difference that Ray made in activism that was the center of their being?
Yeah. It's almost a year upon his death. And Ray was a 21-year-old youth who lived in the city of Racine and went through the schools and experienced all the, unfortunately, the horrible statistics that you hear about, bullying, to the point where he had to do remote learning and, you know, suffered from anxiety and depression and yet came out of it as this vibrant leader in the trans community for youth, and unfortunately suffered from mental health disorders. And but when Ray was in front of an audience, he would touch people in ways that were like a miracle. He was just such an amazing young person. And to hear a young trans person talk about their experience, talk about how they feel in their body, talk about what their day-to-day life is like, is really powerful. And the more voices like that we have in our community, which I might also say is extremely exhausting for that person, the better off we are. Because it's when you hear that personal experience, do you really truly understand someone who's different, whether it's race, whether it's LGBTQ or trans experience. It's just really important.
However, the trans community is sometimes left behind in policies or not able to field the same types of equalities and sometimes are outright targeted in legislation. What work are you doing on that?
So there's a few things happening in the state of Wisconsin and nationally around that. First of all, you've probably heard of the Equality Act, which is a federal piece of legislation that really targets protections for gender identity and gender expression. And if that doesn't pass, then we know that the state of Wisconsin has the equality agenda, which is the same thing. So often states will have a backup in case a federal law doesn't come into place. Mm. So that's something that many of us are working very passionately about. There's other bills that people aren't really aware of, which is a bill like the Panic Defense Bill, which was brought into the assembly by Greta Neubauer, who represents Racine, which is basically a law that says if somebody if somebody is a victim of crime, they don't have the protections of, let me rephrase this. So mm-hmm. if somebody attacks somebody, they can use a legal defense, which is, I attacked this person because they were LGBTQ. I was caught off guard. I didn't know that they were LGBTQ, and therefore my defense is valid. And that was the defense that the people who killed Matthew Shepard used, and it's still on the books today. So it's a viable defense.
Barb, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Barb Farrar leads the LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin, which is based in Racine. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.